Karen, thank you. Wonderful, wonderful reading. She read what we all know about the book of Jude, that glorious doxology at the end. And we have a glorious and good Father in heaven, do we not? Amen. Happy Father's Day. And happy Father's Day. Last week, we left off with quite a different picture. Jude, from verses 4 through 16, clearly describes his opponents: ungodly people, insatiable in immorality, consumptive in lifestyle, grumblers, not thankful, malcontents, not content with their portion, followers of their own sinful base desire, not Jesus' teaching nor his authority, loudmouthed boasters, not humble servants, showing favor to gain an advantage, never serving others from the love of Christ and without partiality. These are the certain people that Jude describes beginning with verse 4. The ungodly people, the perverters, the deniers of our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Jude continually calls them these people: dreamers, defilers, blasphemers, ignorant, corrupted, unreasoning animals, living by instinct, hidden reefs, without fear, selfless, selfish, waterless clouds, twice dead trees, wild waves of the sea, wandering stars, destined for utter darkness forever. These are those who will have judgment poured out upon them as they are convicted of all their ungodly deeds that were done in all their ungodly ways, and for all their ungodly words spoken in ungodliness against the Lord Jesus Christ. Grumblers, malcontents, followers of sinful desires, loud-mouthed boasters, showing favor to gain an advantage. These are those whom Jude has described as having crept in. I wonder this past week, if you applied last week's application, did you look in that mirror? Did you find any of these things in your reflection? God help us. God help us. We are such sinners. Everyone in need of a Savior. But I love what we've sang, the prayer that John Watchern opened up. We're such sinners, but we are yet the beloved of God. Beloved in God the Father, kept for Jesus Christ, the called. We are the called, the beloved, and this is where we pick up today in verse 17. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude again addresses the true Christians, no more the ungodly, the believers in this church of the first century, those who were called, beloved in God the Father, kept for Jesus Christ. The you is plural here throughout the end of the letter. In the Greek, the contrast is much more emphatic. But y'all, beloved, no. But y'all, beloved, y'all, remember. Underline the word remember. This is a command to remember, and to remember now and for always. You must remember the apostles who delivered the faith to you once for all, and unto you all they spoke with words whose authority was of those sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They spoke before these others crept in. We have the very words of the apostles contained for us in verse 18. They said to you, the apostles, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. Please note, they said. You could underline those words as well. Those were words spoken before the present time of Jude's writing to this church. Words spoken to you, that is, to you all, in Alabama and Texas, we say, written to all y'all in the church. And these words also come to us in the church in the 21st century today in the complete canon of Scripture. We have the words. I'd like for you to write two words over the words "in the last time." They said to you, "In the last time," write the words "right now" in capital letters. Right now. The apostles, you know, they weren't talking about some generic distant time somewhere out in the future. The apostles knew that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. They watched him go to heaven. They were told by angels, this Jesus is coming back in the exact same way. And they thought, even now it's going to happen. Right now it could happen. And they believed rightly, because we know that the Lord Jesus could return at any moment. There is nothing keeping him from coming back. Nothing needs to be filled. We are pregnant, awaiting the arrival of the Lord. And if it was right now in the time of the first century church, how much more in these last days is it right now today? Jude, in commanding remembrance, points out that the words of the apostles are true, that the presence of scoffers, people hostile to revelation and godliness, they were predicted in advance to show up. And the believers are to remember and to discern that these words from the apostles, they are true, and the apostles are true. They are the truth tellers. But it also comes with the implication that these scoffers, they're not true. Discern that they are ungodly and they are not trustworthy. And the scoffing of these scoffers, they're denying, they're mocking, they're rejecting of authority, the authority of godliness. It's manifesting with specific forms here in that church, based worldly impulses leading to lewd immorality and a scoffing at the delay in the coming of Christ. These scoffers revile the authority of the Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad that doesn't happen in our day, right now, in these last days? Such people were foretold by the apostles and they're being held up here by Jude as imposters, those who are false, enemies of the cross of Christ. You all know scoffers who inhabit your own daily lives at home, at work, in the church, in the community. I find myself haunted by a certain man. I saw him only this morning in my mirror. You see, I preach to myself as well as I preach unto you the truths of Jude. He is railing against the ungodly, that we who are the godly would rise up and contend. The ungodly, it is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. The Greek grammar reveals these people are in a habitual state of continuously and emphatically causing divisions in the midst of this Christian community. You know, the church doesn't have a reputation in the world of being divided, do we? One church. These are those who are always continually causing divisions. There are three main ways, by the way, that divisions develop within a church. The first is by heresy. Someone brings in a false doctrine that goes unchallenged. Schisms. This is people creating rifts in the community through relationships. And apostasy, which is a denying of the apostolic teaching, the words of Scripture, and then no longer communing with the Christian community at large. Heresy, schisms, apostasy. Jude labels such as worldly people, literally translated, the word is soulish. Soulish, like, you know, with your soul. To be of the soul in the first century is to be base. It's to be natural, worldly. It doesn't mean necessarily outright ugly, cruel, or mean, although such people could be things like that. This could be your sweet Aunt Sally or your very intellectually gifted Uncle Dave. Nice people. But in the first century, to be soulish was to be viewed as immune to or to be in opposition to those things which are spiritual, that which is born of God. These people that Jude is talking about, they do not have the Spirit of God. He chose, the ESV translators chose devoid. And I think it's an excellent translation that rightly expresses these ungodly people's true condition. The apostles, truth tellers. What they predicted has come into being. The scoffers, they are not of the truth. They are godless people who divide, bringing in heresy, tearing apart unity, denying the essentials of the faith. They are people without the Spirit of truth who practice and pursue godliness, enemies of the cross. But the beloved, in verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. By way of contrast, Jude instructs the true believers to be unified, not divided, to be continuously building up and praying. Both are present active participles. They are to be developing a habit pattern, a lifestyle of personally nurturing one another continually in prayer. Notice the conjunction and address, but you, that's but y'all, the beloved, but y'all, Jude emphasizes, the identity of the believers, beloved of God the Father, kept for Jesus Christ, those called to contend for the faith. Y'all, beloved, a faith that is here declared to be a most holy faith, which Jude makes clear that these believers he is writing to and these believers to whom I am speaking this morning possess a personal faith. Y'all's most holy faith. This is a superlative faith of faith. The most holy of any faith. A faith which flows from those who have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the beloved. You're not soulish. You're those who are established in the love of the Father on the foundation of Jesus Christ, entrusted with the apostolic teaching, and now to be continually praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. A people who live out what they are instructed in the fullness of the power of the very Spirit of truth. Redeemer Bible Church, building up one another in love. That's the first part of our mission statement. And based on Jude, that's a great component. Building up, praying, nurturing in the Holy Spirit. Jude continues with 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. The main verb in verses 20 and 21 is found here, the imperatival command, keep. It's y'all keep. Keep y'all's selves. Did you get that? Y'all keep y'all selves. My grandmother used to tell me when I would leave, Bert, you be particular. Y'all keep y'all selves in a particular way. Verse 1 of Jude, believers are addressed as those kept for Jesus Christ. Here we're getting instruction that those who are kept should be those who are keeping. We who are saved should respond to the cross of Christ with a proper response of faithful obedience. An obedience described in verse 20. A faithful obedience consisting of building up others and praying as a people who realize that Jesus is coming soon, that we are expectantly waiting, even hoping for his return. Please do notice in verse 20 and 21, Jude lays out for us the reality of the triune nature of God. God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sphere and dominion of the love of God the Father, while we await the final culmination of our sanctification, which is glorification, which is to be realized as our final end state as we are led into eternity, all the while indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who, I might add, is busy at work within each of us and among all of us. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In these verses, we also have faith, hope, and love. And I have something I would like to read from William Law, who says, "The doctrine of the Holy Trinity is wholly practical. It is revealed to us to discover our high original and the greatness of our fall, and to show us the deep and profound operation of the triune God in the recovery of the divine life in our souls, that by the means of this mystery," that is the Trinity, "thus discovered, our piety might be rightly directed, our faith and prayer have their proper objects, and all the workings and aspiring of our own hearts may cooperate and correspond with that triune life in the Deity, which is always desiring to manifest itself in us." William Law, 1740, right around the time that "Am I a Soldier of the Cross" that Joel wonderfully sang for us this morning. We are not to be idle. Imagine me. Imagine you. We will someday all be bright and shiny. No more sin. Are you expectant? Do you long for that day? Be of hope. I tell you this morning, that day is coming. And that day is coming quickly. And O Lord Jesus, may it be even this day. Come today. But if he should tarry, we have verses 22 and 23. "And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." Do you know that nowhere Jude calls for the expulsion of ungodly? But here he calls the church instead to action, to be the community of the saints. And because this is in the canon of Scripture and it is being read and preached in our midst today, you, y'all, all y'all, you are also called to action. You are hereby commanded. Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. We are called to be heavenly minded, but we're also called to be of earthly good. We are the church. We are those who are called. We are beloved, kept, keeping, building up, praying, waiting in certain hope. And in our waiting, we are commanded by Jude three things, imperatively commanded: to have mercy, to save, and to show mercy. In the Greek, they are clearly commands, present tense, active voice. We are commanded to make these things habitual responses, to develop an ongoing state of being. We are to strive intentionally and continually to obey these three commands. It would be, y'all, all y'all, make sure that you have intentional, continuous mercy. Y'all, all y'all, show. All y'all, save with continuous intentionality. Y'all, continuously and intentionally make sure that you're showing mercy on those who doubt, those who are unsure of what to believe, and also to snatch those who are even now on the road to hell, who sit under the present time, the judgment of God. These are slaves to sin, death, and the devil. And all y'all, are commanded to be a fireman. A fireman to drag others out of the very flames. Commanded, each of you and every one of you, to be personally involved. A soldier of the cross. Save those who are without hope and without Christ in the world. Show mercy to those whose very deeds defile them utterly, even and especially those whose sins are spectacularly terrible, so stained, defiled, evident as the dirtiest of dirty, and the metaphor I came up with is diapers. You ever seen a dirty diaper? It's Father's Day. Jude is saying, these are those that you have to show mercy to. They are so offensive. Every aspect of who they are and how they are is to be hated, but they, as the image bearers of God, are to be shown mercy. Love the sinner and hate the sin. Show the mercy of Jesus Christ. They are perishing. Jesus Christ showed his mercy to you when you were but perishing. Do the same. In verse 12, Jude said that the young godly dined with believers without fear, but here in our verses, we are to conduct ourselves as those in the presence of God, the holy and righteous one, with reverent fear. You've probably seen the bumper sticker or the t-shirt that says, no fear. Have you seen that before? No fear. You know, that's not us. That's a self-aggrandized, I'm my own man, I don't fear nothing. That's not what we're instructed to be. No. We are those who both know and fear God. And we proclaim not no fear. We are those who are supposed to proclaim fear not, for we know the Savior who brings judgment or eternal life. Fear God, church. We are the beloved. But how do you show mercy? Jude says, by living as a faithful, obedient children of God, as those saved by Jesus Christ, as those who have received the gospel, as those who have rightly responded to the gospel by keeping ourselves, building up one another, praying, sharing the gospels while waiting for his return. Building up, praying, hoping. That's how we show mercy. Are you learning and growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you? Are you a member of one of our adult Bible fellowships? If not, why not? Our first hour activities are a great way to grow in grace and love for God and others. Come Sunday morning. Come midweek when it resumes on July 19th. We've got VBS July 10th through 14. You could be a VBS volunteer. And let me tell you, there won't be dirty diapers. I think that's too young. But you can show mercy and help turn somebody from the flames. Join a small group. Find some way to become a part of the community of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has placed us here. And share the gospel. Share the gospel. Martin Luther is the one that said, we are beggars, everyone. And we know where there is a feast. Those who doubt are as those who starve. We must share the gospel. Christ died for your sins, and he rose from the dead. You have eternal life in the mercy of Jesus Christ. In that same mercy, share him with others. Be intentional. Be always sharing continually. And when you see those who are the worst, you remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ. He is coming. And he's coming either to execute the severest of judgment or to lead into a salvation of eternal life. Remember. Keep building up. Pray. Hoping expectantly for his return. Share the gospel. Jude is calling the church to be the community of the saints. Redeemer Bible Church, we are called to more than a Sunday morning. We are called to action. We are commanded to be as Christ to all others, having mercy, saving, showing mercy. Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. I have a theme going. That's why Jude can say, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever." Amen. Amen. I'm going to break it down for you, so buckle up. Now to him who is able, this is a defining of God by Jude. This is the one for whom all things are possible. Right now, each of us have challenges that are overwhelming to us. You do, and I do. And Jude gives us the hope to every challenge that we face. Because we are the beloved, this one is able. And he's able to keep you. Notice that the pronoun is plural. Keep all y'all. The verbal form to keep, it's a different word in the Greek from the keep that we found earlier in verses 1 and 21, where we're kept for Christ and we're supposed to be keeping. This word, phulasso, means to protect by taking careful measures, to guard from danger or from being lost or from perishing, and all with the predominant idea of this, maintaining a happy state. Being preserved without a worry. This is the one who is able to keep you preserved without a worry. Don't worry. Be happy. This one is able to keep you all from stumbling. The only place you find this word in the New Testament is right here in this verse. The word is literally without stumbling or free from stumbling. It is used in a moral sense. That of not falling into sin or not having kept the law. This is the one who is able to exempt you from your falling. This one is able to keep you stumble free and to present you blameless, to present you, emphasizing once again, all y'all, to present all y'all, to cause all y'all to be in a place or position to set, to place, to bring, to allow you all to come, to cause you all to stand before God in a condition that Jude says is blameless, that is, without fault morally. But Jude doesn't mean you all will be just blameless. Oh, look at me, I'm just blameless. But rather, you will all be unblameable. You'll be irreproachable. You will be unaccusable by Satan or any other accuser. Here we learn we will be without the actuality of sin or stain or wrinkle or blemish or any other thing that would hinder us from approaching God. We are to be presented blameless before the presence of his glory. And you know, this is the eschatological hope. The last hope we have is to witness God in all of his glory as we are presented before him in that glory. This is when Christ comes, and before his holy presence, we will be in glorified bodies. This is the state and the moment in which we enter forever with God. With great joy, he adds. The Greek word is literally a piercing exultation or exclamation. Hot dog, I knew it! An abounding, overwhelming, overflowing joy. We will find ourselves before the Lord. You, me, bright and shining, literally bursting, leaping with joy. And he says, with great joy. To the only God, only in the Greek refers to the only one in a class. Jude makes clear the reality that our God is the only God. To the only God, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord, He is one. Did you know there is only one God? There is no God but our God. To say that there is three gods is a heresy. There is one God. Yet he who has declared himself has declared himself triune. There is one what, God, and three whos, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is beyond all of our abilities to comprehend how one God can be three distinct persons. But it is undeniable because the one true God has so declared it. I don't know how it is. I just know that it is. And so we can agree with Jude to the only God who is our Savior. In the New Testament writings, the Greek word translated Savior, soter, is only used of God, the deliverer, the preserver, the one who alone is able to save and to save absolutely from danger, destruction, and death. And this is deliverance, not just out of danger and destruction and death. No, this is a deliverance into life, into prosperity, into happiness in the day called forever. We will not be as we are now at this time, in this day. No, bright and shining days are ahead for all of us who are beloved. It's not this that is coming, but it is into this that we bring that reality through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, I'm sorry, before I go there, our Savior, our God, our Savior, He saves us. The focus is just not on the fact that God is renowned as a Savior, but it's His renown for saving us, for saving you, and for saving even me, and saving all of us together, absolutely, through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is only through Jesus Christ our Lord we are reconciled in peace with the great and awesome triune God of heaven and earth, as Jesus Himself declared, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father but through me. The Greek word translated Lord means master, owner, one vested with proper authority, full power, and absolute rights. The Greek equivalent of the Old Testament word for Yahweh. The Lord is given to Jesus as response of God to Jesus' obedient suffering. It's a position equal to that of God. In every case in which it is used, the possessive plural our emphasizes not only the common object of the faith of all Christian believers, but also believers, every believer's voluntary and unanimous submission to the divine Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, the divine title of the risen Christ, He is our Jesus who is Lord. When we as Christians confess Jesus is Lord, we are confessing that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, the second member of the Trinity, the eternal Son who bore our sins and paid our price that we might be made children of God the Father. And it is because of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit sent by the Father and the Son who indwells us, who seals us, who sanctifies us, and who remains at work within and among us to lead us into all truth. Be glory, appearance, reputation. In Jude's days, Those especially deserving of enhanced glory were those who demonstrated concern for others. In our context, glory refers to that which belongs to God alone, the kingly majesty of the supreme ruler. Glory emphasizes the honor of the royal and regal Messiah, the enhancement or recognition of his status, performance, fame, recognition, renown, honor, prestige, all as well as his great and good reputation, God's glory. Majesty, ascribing greatness and strength for Jude's majesty is Jude's description of God's greatness and preeminence, used only of God for the divine name. Dominion denotes ruling ability, power, rule, sovereignty. This refers to the power of God and stresses his manifested overwhelming might, his supreme and victorious power and authority, the potential or resource to command, its capability, authority as might and power. It is the power of him whose will and commands apply to all and to whom all must obey and submit. It is both the capability and the right to do an action. For God, it is the right and power over all persons, over all things, and encompasses all dominion, all power, and all rule. All these descriptions in verses 24 and 25 speak of God's rank, his superlative nature. He is the sovereign God who is King of kings, who is Lord of lords. And now Jude projects the element of time into this doxology of God's glory. Literally, before all time, before the eternity, all these truths about the Lord's rank were true in the past. And now, even at this very moment, God is still God of gods. He is still Lord of lords, alone the great and awesome Savior, and forever, literally, into the eternities, plural. God will still be God. He who has been is now, and he who is now is he who will be forever. This is the God who is able, on whom our hope is pinned, and that is why Jude says, Amen, the expression of strong affirmation, an expression of faith. It's a way to say, let it be so, may it be so done, truly. Amen. It is also a word aptly spoken by the congregation. Amen? Amen. And now application. The reality of the great and triune God, the God to whom this doxology belongs and is presented to, this is our Savior, our Lord. May I ask you, what will you do with this God, this moment, this hour, this day, this week, this month, this year, this life? What will you do? What will you do with this God? How will you respond? You are without excuse. You have been commanded. You maybe never read the book of Jude before, but today you have been commanded. Every time you look in the mirror, remember Jude. He gives us a measure of how you are to be. You can disbelieve in the one whose very image you see reflected back. Or you can live a life as a person redeemed who believes in a God who is able before, now, and forever. Moses was told, Behold, I have heard the cry of my people in bondage, and I have come down. I will send you to bring them out of slavery. Do you know God is a God who comes, and he sends out people. Jesus, he has come, and he sends out his church with the good news of the gospel. So wake up and write down these words. Remember, write down, remember, keep the faith, keep the faith, have mercy, save, show mercy. Remember, keep the faith, have mercy, save, show mercy. In summary, be as the Lord Jesus Christ to all. Four words I would ask you to bear in mind, write down. Home. Home. Church. Work. Community. Five commands, four spheres. At home, at church, at work, community. That's where you're supposed to be obeying. I want you to each go home. I want you to each look yourself in a mirror. And in the presence of the one with whom we have to do, I ask that you prayerfully examine and invite him to show you how you can show mercy, how you can keep the faith, how you can build up and pray and have mercy and save and show mercy at home, at the church, at work, and in our community. How God would have you be as Christ to someone else. Howard and Fran Jocelyn and Thomas and Juliet Barbie just came back from Tanzania. They encountered thousands of people. I don't know the exact number, about 1,000 acceptances of Jesus Christ as Savior, almost 200 people baptized. Praise God. Those people live in great darkness on the other side of the world. And I'm going to close with a quick story from Chuck Colson. That's not from Africa. It's one that we're familiar with. Some of you know Chuck Colson, some of you don't. He was the former counsel to President Richard Nixon, was a convicted felon, converted to Christianity, became the founder of Prison Fellowship, Breakpoint Ministries, and others. And he was writing about an experience he had at teaching at a Bible study for businessmen. A certain Mr. Abercrombie, it seemed, a respected businessman, had a weekly Bible study, and he invited Mr. Colson to come and to teach. And so Chuck Colson showed up, and he decided he was teaching on sin and human depravity. When he was done, one of the first questions he got was, "You don't really believe we are sinners, do you? I mean, you're way too sophisticated to be one of those hellfire and brimstone fellows," one older gentleman said. Chuck Colson replied, "Yes, sir, I believe we are desperately sinful. What's inside each of us is ugly. In fact, we deserve hell and would get it, but for the sacrifice of Christ for our sins." Mr. Abercrombie, you know, the guy that sponsored the weekly study, looked very distressed. The room fell silent. He said, Well, I don't know about all of that. Mr. Colson, I mean, I'm a good person. I go to church, and quite frankly, I get exhausted spending all my time doing good works. Then the room really got quiet. Chuck Colson replied, "If you believe that, Mr. Abercrombie, and I hate to say this, for you certainly won't invite me back, you are, sir, for all of your good works, further away from the kingdom than the people I work with in prison, who are aware of their own sins." As he was leaving, Mr. Abercrombie led Chuck Colson into an empty office, closed the door, and then bluntly said, "I don't have what you have, Mr. Colson." And Chuck Colson replied, "But you can." And moments later, they were on their knees. Mr. Abercrombie asked forgiveness of his sins, turned his life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing the truth of the gospel, that by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, are sinners saved. Christ died for our sins and he rose from the dead. Mr. Abercrombie, in an office building, snatched from the fire. Hundreds, if not thousands, in Tanzania, snatched from the fire. If you have not believed on the finished work and person of Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Let this day, this Father's Day, be the day of your salvation. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God is able to use you to reach others in this church. and in this community and in your life, at home, at work, at church, and in the community. Be as Christ, for Jude commands it. Let's pray. Father, you are a good, good Father. And we, as has been sung about and prayed and read, are such desperate sinners. Thank you for the salvation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, for being the God who is able. Grant us this day to live in faithful obedience as those who are beloved, who are kept, as those that are building up, as those who are praying, as those who are keeping, as those who have mercy, who save and show mercy, because we want to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus, to bring you great glory, our Father. It's in the name of Christ, by the power of your Spirit, for your glory that we pray. Amen.